2020 at 7 p.m. We're at the Royal Canadian Legion Hall in Chester to order. Item two, review and approve the agenda.
We approve the agenda. Thank you.
Can you second her, please?
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Okay, chair's report. For those who don't know me, I think everybody knows me. My name is Bill Nost. I'm the present chair of the Village of Chester. And on behalf of Dennis Edgedy, our commission clerk, treasurer, administrative assistant Maxine, and my fellow commissioners, I would like to extend my appreciation to those in attendance tonight at our AGM. In the clerk's report, Dennis has explained why there has been an approximate 16-month delay in the since the last AGM. The commission has operated virtually in order to move forward with necessary duties and projects. Like other organizations, COVID-19 presented challenges for the commission and staff, but we moved forward several goals. The clerk's report speaks to what occurred over the past months, and I will be brief and discuss something not within Dennis's report. To the commissioners, I want to thank you for working towards improving over the last months the working relationship between the municipality of Chester councillors and councillors, the Chester Volunteer Fire Department, and the Red Cross program. Working together is always a win-win for all. Thank you very much. The legal pool wall was repaired on schedule before COVID-19 and was completed as expected. Other jurisdictions with pools were reluctant to open the public to the public due to the COVID-19 threat. When the decision was made by the commission to open the legal, a great deal of work had to be accomplished in a short period of time to open and to operate under COVID-19 guidelines. So on behalf of the commission present, I would like to extend our appreciation to those who were instrumental in the opening and operation of the Lido Pool this year. I personally believe it was a big success for us and for the village and the municipality and anybody else that was there. I was there several times during the day and in the evening, and I saw young families picnicking, kids playing in the pool, and really, I believe that's what its original intention was for. So in order to open up and keep going, our washrooms, I'd like to make a formal thank you to Carol DeLong, Darlene DeMille, and Donna Russell. They kept the pool washrooms clean and open to the public and sanitized to try to prevent the COVID-19. What a lot of people may not understand, when you're cleaning for COVID, you don't know if COVID's there or not. So it's like walking in a minefield. Now, we're lucky in Chester that we hasn't been a great deal. But to those women, they went in and they cleaned. And I thank them. Lifeguards. And last minute, Dennis had to search out lifeguards because our pool can't operate without lifeguards. He was very fortunate to find Max Miller, and Matthew Pache, who watched over the pool and everybody in it. He also occasionally borrowed Laura Robar from Darcy's swim program when we needed, when the lifeguards needed help, as needed. To those people, I want to extend the commission's thanks. Now, the swim program, Darcy has a report which I will read after a bit. Again, Darcy had another successful swim program. This wouldn't have happened without the participation of her instructors, and I believe her name is, one name is Julia Riggin, O'Riggin, and Laura Robar, who I've mentioned before, program instructors. On behalf of the commission, I'd like to thank them for passing on their skills that may someday save a child's life. General cleanup. Now, Dennis hired again this year Terry DeLong. He kept the Freedom's Beach clean and in around the area of the Lido Pool. Did a great job, just like he did last year. And I hope he's around next year. Lastly, I thought Paul might be here. But Paul Maroon. Paul handled, I would say, the maintenance and the coordination of all things Lido Pool. Cleaned the Lido Pool walls and floors. Painted the pool walls. And he was, I guess, we'd call him a go-to guy for everybody. So if Paul was here, I'd thank him personally. Did a good job. Respectfully, Bill Noss, Chair. Motion for my report.
I think you should for each one of them.
Okay.
I motion to accept Chair Noss's report.
Need a second, gentlemen?
Second.
Second by Nancy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carried. Okay, Dennis. Clerk Treasury's report.
Okay, just to expand a bit what the chairman has said about COVID-19, and in my 35 years experience, you know, working in government, we always had some kind of policy or bylaw to deal with pandemic. And this is the first time you really had to take it serious, because every time I looked at that policy and everybody's sort of, yeah, whatever, you know, never happened. Well, it did happen. So it was a whole new learning curve we had to go through with the COVID. And one of the most important things I attached to my report, the directive from our minister, Chuck Porter, of Municipal Affairs and Housing, giving us direction on to have our meeting. I was always in contact with Municipal Affairs, finding out what's going on. We have to have elections. We have to have a public meeting. Finally, they came out first with municipal elections for cities and towns. And I was on the phone to them and say, well, what about villages? You know, we have to have elections, we have to have a meeting. And he finally came up with the directive, which you can see attached there. And we got set up for this meeting and the elections, which are going to be happening on Saturday, advanced election, and full election on Tuesday, October 13th, right after Thanksgiving. So I'm pleased to be able to move on, get things done, get the information out to the public, and do our job, responsible our job, according to the Municipal Government Act. Looking back at COVID, we closed our offices March 23rd, just in time. I just got back from holiday, two-week holiday, and got settled in, had to close the office, had to work at home. And that was a little bit different. We had to figure out, okay, how are we going to have meetings? We went with Zoom. And it's working fine. At times we have trouble with it. And I think for us, a lot of it's me. Like when I go to record the meeting, you might not see it online because, well, I forgot to push the button or something. You know, those are the learning things that we should have in our pandemic policy, how to push the button or whatever. But thank God I got Maxine. And she always makes sure that the recorder's on. So there's a audio recording, video, you're going to have to take your chances. But we get the minutes out as quickly as possible so you could read about the meeting, what happened, the motions made, and everything else. Clean up the other big thing we did, last year, since our last meeting, we cleaned up the knotweed at the fire hall. And we had a few hiccups there. They were a little bit late starting. The rain started, the seed started to wash away. The silt started going to the ditch, and you know, I'm getting blamed for it. I'm going, well, okay, we'll clean it up. You know, it wasn't dramatic, but the seed did take, and the area, the grass is being cut, the knotweed is not given a chance to breathe because we cut it down before it can mature. And that's the way it has to be. And to me, it looks really good. And there's something that I'm going to encourage the commission maybe in the future, future budgets, look at some other areas where we can clean up the knotweed and do the same thing. Because it's a nice little community, you can control it in some areas. If we have to pay someone to cut it, I think it's worth it. That's my opinion. But that's up to the commission to decide how they want to handle it. Again, like Bill mentioned about Frieda Beach, we hot summer, and getting the pool open, I was really happy to have it open because I got a lot of calls. I got calls from people. They had the Atlantic bubble, and people were visiting the area. They were at the Oak Island Inn, and they said, I heard you got a pool down there that's open. Our whole family's here. We want to go, by all means, come on down. And as much planning as we did for COVID and trying to ensure that everybody was separated, they're not too close together, but Canadians are very disciplined people. They go 12 feet from each other. We say to them 20, 25 people in the pool. Well, we had 10, 15. When it really got hot, you might have been closer to 25. And we said to everybody that, okay, half hour, you have to get out to give the next group of people a chance to get in the pool. Well, there was no lineup. So if you want to stay in for another, or get out and walk around and come back in. We recorded everybody's name and phone number in case somebody did get sick that went swimming that day. We were able to call up everybody and to ask, tell them to get tested. That's the most important thing. Even today, we have the list so that somebody here today, if you develop any symptoms and you come down with COVID, well, the government's going to ask us, the health people, department's going to say, okay, who was at the meeting? We'll have the list, and everybody be called to go for a test. Hopefully, we won't have any problem here. The only people having a problem in the village right now are the rodents. And I think Terminex, we did 1 year with them now, and I haven't heard any complaints about their service, except I want more. I want more different places where the people see the rats. And it's working quite well. You live here, and I'm sure you would tell me if you saw rodents in different areas, and we would try to get Terminex out there. And it's worth another year. You're always going to have them. The biggest thing that Terminex told me is that people with bird feeders, put them away, because the birds knock the feed on the ground and the rats are right there to eat it up. I had the same situation at my home. I had a bird feeder. It's nice to see the birds, but stay up at night and see who's at the bird feeder on the ground feeding, the big rats. So to control it, I think Terminex, another year, let them go, and because it is a lovely community, you don't want to be overrun by rodents. The other thing that was mentioned, that last year we looked at replacing the tandem tanker for the fire department, and we sent out, with the help of the fire department and Everett and the consultant we hired, I can't remember his name, but we sent out 12 manufacturers for a quote, and the quote came in at close to $1 million. Well, that's too much for a truck, and it was decided by the commission that if we are going to buy trucks and they cost $1 million because they won't fit into our present fire hall, well, let's look at a new fire hall where the trucks that are being manufactured will fit into our hall. So that's a wise decision. Right now, the commission, well, not right now, but in September, a committee was formed, a fire hall building committee, and their job, that was September 11, 2019. Their job is to investigate and recommend to the commission. So people, sometimes people get upset, oh, you're going to build a fire. No, we're not. The commission hasn't said anything like that. They want their information. How much is it going to cost? Where are you going to put it? All those things are going to be answered. And then there's a process where it goes to the general public for a vote. And, you know, it'll take time. It's not going to happen overnight. But that's where it is right now. other things that we did last year, 7 new policies. Some are new and some are revisions of past ones. And I'll just mention some of them. The meeting and procedures policy, that was looked at and it was approved. Audit committee, we never had one before. And Municipal Affairs said, you must have an audit committee. Fortunately, we were able to get one person from the public, and that was
Sandy Dumerick.
She sat at a couple of meetings, and she was quite helpful. And it's a learning process for her too, to look at the finances and meet with the auditor and the commissioners. Another one, records management and destruction. When I came here, there were just tons of files in the vault and all over, boxes of old files. And we didn't need them, but I needed a process where I could go to the commission and say, hey, I've got these old files going back 10, 20 years. We don't need them. We don't look at them. Why do we have them? So according to legislation, they made a motion to destroy files, and I list every year what the files were. There are certain ones we have to keep, and there's other ones that we can destroy, and that's in our policy. So that was nice to see, to have that one done. Reserve policy, we have 7 reserve funds, and the commission looked at that policy and decided, okay, what, when we put money in reserve, what's it's going to be used for? So they set some guidelines there. Reimbursement policy, there was one before, but we updated it, made it more current. Commission code of conduct, how commissioners act at meetings in the public, whatever, and how it's handled if somebody misbehaves. That's a new one where the government said, yeah, you should have this policy. So that was approved. The final one that's out there right now is the property tax exemption. And the municipality of Chester has the same policy, and they administer it for us, same as they distribute and collect taxes. So they had one where it reduced the taxes on the general rate, and I can't remember the other one. I'm losing it.
Theirs is the garbage collection.
Garbage collection and general rate?
Yeah.
And the commission wanted to do something, as most municipalities, because of COVID, and people are having a hard time not working, not being able to pay their taxes. So the municipal government came up with a policy, a proposed policy, and sent it to all municipalities. It was to defer your taxes. And every municipality, I see, the question went out to every municipality. In my email, every municipality only had maybe one person apply for that exemption, for that postponement of taxes. And it wasn't a good policy. However, the commission, we came up with one where we reduced, we have guidelines in our policy for people that, based upon your income, you get a reduction in your taxes. Because when you have limited income, it's a good thing that, hey, you want to stay in your home, and nobody wants to get out because you can't pay your taxes. So that is in place right now, and I think everybody would get in the mail with their tax bill, if you haven't already seen it, and that exemption is being offered to people. The legal poll, Chairman Noss mentioned about the exterior wall being repaired last year, September 2019, after we opened the pool. This year, we weren't really, we were concerned about opening the pool at all. So we had the work started before we actually opened, and we were able to get it done, the work completed, so that we were able to open the pool after. So I was happy with that. And because we weren't going to open the pool, you know, if you were down at the pool, you'd notice the wood structure, the wharf there that was attached to the pool, it has shifted, the ice, and it has been torn down. The commission approved to have it rebuilt. Land and Sea, we got 3 quotes on it to get the work done. Land and Sea was the best price, and they've done a lot of work around, and they're good at their job. So they have started, they took the work down. They're getting the permits because they have to dig into the bank there, into the shore, to set the poles. They can't pound them in, they can't drive them in because they may crack. The Paul already mentioned that. He told me that mentioned to the contractor, Landon C., that if you pound those things in, you could crack the cement wall of the pool and it costs us more. So it's going to take a little time, but Landon C. figures, hey, they can work during the winter to get it done. So next year we'll have a new wharf up there. The other thing we're looking at right now, and it's out there, that handicap access and into the pool. Some people, I get calls that, do you have access for for somebody handicapped in a wheelchair to get in the pool? Because everybody wants to get in the water on a hot day. Right now we don't, but I'm looking into what's our options. How can we make a ramp possible? What's it going to cost? And where it's going to go? So next year in the budget, that's one thing the commissioner will be discussing, and I'll present, you know, the different options to them. The other thing on the wharf too, I've asked Landon C. to build a couple structures out there for change rooms, just open walls, you know, so when people and kids go into the pool, they don't have to go up to the washrooms because they get water all over the pool, washroom floor, it becomes slippery, and if they did it outside, it's much better, much safer for everybody. The final thing, the budget was approved June 10th, 2020. The tax rate has remained the same for the last 3 years at 0.1517 per $100 assessment. And the projected revenues we had for this year, at that time we projected at $958,000. And like I mentioned earlier, our reserves on top of that, our reserves right now are at 1.6 million. And there is still another $150,000 I have to put in for apparatus reserve. And that'll probably go in sometimes in January. Right now, I'm just watching the finances, what are the other things we're spending money on. But it will be there. We had a lot of discussion on money, on the reserves. What do we do with it? Where do we put it? You can't leave it in an ordinary bank account. You don't get any interest. But because the way the economy is, interest rate is not the best, we are able to secure some locked-in accounts. And in the next 1.5 years from now, they will be maturing a lot of the accounts and will achieve $24,000 just in interest. So the money is working for the village, and you're making something off of it. Overall, village operations have been running very well with the help of, like I say, like Maxine, my administrative assistant, and as Bill has mentioned, the handyman, Paul Moraine, at the pool, at the ambulance bay, fixing doors, fixing toilets, fixing whatever needs to be done, putting up wreaths, fixing brackets for flowers, everything. The flowers were great this year, as last year, and that was Kerry Kenny did a great job. I think it took Mel a little early, but he got permission, not for me. But the weather is so unpredictable, and at that time when he took it down, you know, we have to consider many things, what was happening, and there was that hurricane on the way. They would have been knocked down, but we were fortunate that it was just rain. That's it for my report. Just ask for a motion to accept.
Thank you, Dennis.
You're welcome.
So moved.
Glenn moved. Michael second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Carried. All right, sir.
Okay. So there's a copy of the financials if you want to follow along. I'll try to be brief. We'll start on the independent auditor's report, which is on page one. And I'll just read the opinion paragraph that states, in our opinion, the accompanying consolidated financial statements present fairly, in all material respects, the financial position of the Village of Chester as of March 31, 2020, and the results of its operations and changes in net financial assets for the year then ended, in accordance with Canadian Public Sector Accounting Standards. So that's a clean audit opinion. Page 3 is the consolidated statement of financial activities. So this includes the general operations, the capital, and the reserve transactions. For the year, the village had an overall surplus of $166,000. Page 4 is the consolidated statement of financial position. You'll see that cash has dropped quite a bit from the prior year, but that's just because of the most of it was moved into investments. You'll see that the short-term investments are now $1.4 million, where there were basically none last year. Under payables, payables are lower than last year. At the end of last year, there were some large capital purchases that weren't paid for as of March 31, so that's why there's such a difference of $35,000 payables this year versus $65,000 last year. The change in net financial assets is explained on page 5, so I'll go over that on the next page. Property and equipment, there was $133,000 of capital additions in the year, and then $182,000 amortization, so that net change was a decrease there of about $50,000. Under the surplus, the surplus was kind of split between the reserve went up by $192,000, the investment capital assets went down by about $50,000, and the accumulated surplus increased by $23,000. So from what that means is that the operating surplus for the village was $23,000. Page 5 explains the change in the net financial assets. So we start with the surplus of $166,000, and then $133,000 was used for tangible capital asset purchases. $182,000 was amortization. And then after changes in prepaid, your net financial assets increased by $216,000 and ended at $1.76 million. So your net financial assets, if you think about it, are, if, from a business point of view, it's kind of like your current ratio, like, you know, how much money do you have left after your liabilities. So that's a pretty healthy position that you're in. Page 6 is the consolidated statement of change in financial position, or a cash flow statement. I always call this is where the money came from and where it went. So we start with the annual surplus of $166,000. We add back the amortization because it's non-cash. And then after changes in working capital, you have $397,000 generated from operations. $1.45 million went into investments, and then $133,000 was spent on tangible capital assets. $36,000 was spent on the pool upgrades, and $97,000 was spent on fire equipment. So your cash decreased by $1.18 million, but that's because most, you know, $1.4 million of it went into investments. So at the end of the year, there was $320,000 on hand, compared to 1.5 last year. So the next few pages are the notes to the financial statements. They have the accounting policies that the village follows. I'm not going to go into those details, but I will jump to the last page, which is the statement of reserve funds. So during the year, there was $150,000 added to the fire truck reserve and $30,000 added to the labor pool reserve. And then there was $103,000 transferred from operations to cover the equipment purchases. And so at the end of March 31, 2020, we had about $1.5 million in reserve.
Questions? Hearing no questions? Hearing no questions? Do we get a motion on the financial report? Audit?
So moved.
Who moved?
Michael?
Nancy.
Nancy.
Thank you. Need a seconder, please?
That was moved by Nancy, seconded by Michael.
Oh, sorry. My head wasn't listening. I'm just listening to the news noise. Okay, we got moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Chief, please.
Good evening, commissioners, residents, former teachers. The past 18 months, CBFD responded to 188 emergency dispatches consisting of structure fires, motor vehicle collisions, water rescues, investigations, alarms, and of course, what would the year be without a fire at the Kaiser Meadow landfill? The department held 17 meetings, 17 officer meetings, both in person and virtually, 21 regular practice, municipal practice, special practice, and several site incident pre-plans in the district. Unfortunately, COVID-19 caused many training events in 2020 to be canceled due to social distancing constraints. This has also delayed CVFD's annual general meeting, scheduled for next week now, and the department's annual banquet, which may be held off until 2021. Hurricane Dorian, whom we all believed was to be replaced by Hurricane Teddy, was the largest event to affect the district, resulting in 33 incidents within 24 hours. More recently, the forest fire in Chester Grant saw several members and apparatus respond as mutual aid with Chester Basin to control the blaze. CVFD welcomed 5 new probationary members to the department: Peter Millman from Chester, Taylor Stevens from Chester, who's a third generation member. Her father, Chad, and grandfather, Dennis, were life members. Kyle Livingston from East River, Michaela Dory from Chester, who's a former member of Western Shore, and Matthew Kaiser, a former junior from Robinson's Corner. Several members have also achieved service milestones this past year. Chris McDonald, 40 years. Wayne Payne, 40 years. Cody Stevens will receive his 20-year, although he's closer to 23 years. Martin Hiltz, 20 years. Myself, 20 years. Emma DeMont, 15 years. Nick Hurdle, 10 years. And Savannah Rhino and Simon Yip, both 5 years. Sadly, with these good times come the bad, as CVFD was forced to bid farewell to one of our own on November 9th, 2019. Grant Payne dedicated 47 years of service to this fire district, and he always did it with a smile. 2019-2020 budget concluded with CVFD under budget on all accounts except apparatus maintenance. Both Unit 541, the 2007 pumper tanker, and Unit 551, the 96 tanker, required extensive maintenance in order for them to pass road inspections. This included brakes, exhausts, and computer pieces. Major purchases for the past year included replacement of the high-pressure airbags used primarily on motor vehicle collisions and continued replacement of personal protective equipment, which is a mandatory 15-year retirement. This global pandemic and provincial state of emergency brought with it many other challenges for CVFD to overcome. Rigorous cleaning of apparatus and equipment after every emergency dispatch has resulted in volunteers spending countless extra hours at the station. Personal protective equipment, typically only used on medical calls, has become part of every incident, and routine calls are not so routine anymore. But the members of CVFD continue to respond diligently to every incident. I'd be remiss if I didn't thank every member of the Chester Volunteer Fire Department and their families for their continued resolve and professionalism during these unsure times. I concluded my report last year looking forward to having a new tanker serving the fire district by now. Unsuccessfully, this was caused by the current fire station's shortcomings with housing a stock chassis unit, requiring a custom built to fit. This and a lengthy list of other deficiencies have fortunately resulted in the fire department and commission forming a joint committee to replace the aged building at 149 Central Street. This is a much needed and essential project that will serve the businesses and residents of the Fire District of Chester Volunteer Fire Department and surrounding communities for decades. I thank the village staff and commissioners for their dedication to this project and to the village of Chester as a whole, all the time. Commissioner Noss, I thank you for your time served as chair of the commission, and I wish you the best in the coming election. Respectfully, Everett Hills Fire Chief, Chester Volunteer Fire Department.
Thank you, Chief. Anybody have a question for Everett?
Just a motion.
Just the motion, please. Michael? Second?
Mark? Second.
Got a motion to accept the chief's report. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Now the swim program report, Darcy's not here, so she sent it to me. I'm going to try to read this. And she starts catching up in 2019 and ends up in 2020. Village commissioners, ladies and gentlemen, another year has come and gone. The summer of 2019 went very well at the Lido Pool. We operated a 9-week swim program with approximately 50 to 60 participants per day. Participants range from 6 months and up. Our instructors, this is in summer 2019, were Max Milner and Lauren Williams. They did a great job, and the parents were very pleased. We participated in fundraising during 2019, Graves Island Car Show and Coastside Horse Show, where we held barbecues. We always received great support from these fundraisers. The last day of the swim session, we held Fun Day, which included games, swimathon, prizes, pizza, cake, and treat bags. As you know, the summer of 2020 was a different from any other. We were fortunate that the pool was able to open. The parents were very thankful and appreciative to have a swim lesson program for their children as needed structure, activity, socialize in very small, on a very small basis. We would like to thank the Village Commission for the upkeep of the Lido Pool and the opportunity to use the pool for swim lessons. As you know, the pool is a very important part of the village and municipality. Lessons are very important to everyone as we are near the water. One never knows when they may be in an emergency situation in or around the water, whether it be beach, ocean, lake, river, or pool. The swim lessons provide the participants with life-saving skills. The parents have expressed great support for the swim program at the Lido and want the lessons to continue. We are looking forward to a great summer of 2021. I move the adoption of this report. Darcy Stevens, Chairman. Jefferson.
Darcy's moved it.
She's not here. Please
keep
it.
So
move. Joanne?
Second.
Second Nancy. All those in favor?
Aye.
I have to admit this swim program is well supported and well needed. Now we're down to the last item, 8. And we normally, I know it's not the front, so would anybody like to say something? If not, we'll ask Michael to do his thing.
Well, I guess I can say something. Right. I want to thank the fire department. I know how much they run and how much they move. And Everett, at some time you forget that I was there.
I think you did a very good job, Carol.
Anyway, for all of you, I know exactly what jobs you have to tackle and how things go. I'm glad to see that you're working in cooperation with the council again and with the other people in the village. And on behalf of the Heritage Society, your help for the event that we had for Canada Day was, I think, a resounding success. We sure hope we're going to have it next year, so get ready with your grill and your fish, because you didn't have enough last year.
Don't worry, Blake, I already bought 2 more deep fryers.
So, I mean, we're already planning for it. So, and working towards supplying some of the booze and things so we don't have to move from Western Shore. But anyway, I want to thank you, because you're always helpful, and you're always willing to help. And without you, I don't know what we'd do. So, thank you all.
Thank you. I don't see anybody else, so I once again want to thank everybody. We're small numbers here, but it means a lot. It's hard sitting here by yourself talking to the walls. Anyway, with that, Michael?
If there's no further business, I'd like to call this meeting adjourned.